must bring. My heart's torn to pieces. It's my offering.
I should have never doubted you.
your time of trouble, just reach out and say the name, the sweet name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name. So precious, no other name I know. Say the name of Jesus.
Everybody's That he has raised us up together and has made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, oh!
Walking. Amen. Good evening and welcome to our broadcast, An Evening with Jesus and the Word. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I have to laugh at my husband, that's Bishop Gerald Scott.
Amen.
He's laughing because I had contemplated not doing the broadcast tonight, but we are here, hallelujah, glory to God. We are here not on our own strength, believe me when I tell you that, but we are here because of God. Hallelujah, glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
So I do thank God tonight for allowing me to be with you guys on tonight. Amen. And tonight we want to talk about dying so that we can live again. Dying.
My Lord.
So that we can live again. I think it's a very apropos scripture for this day and time. And today is September 26, 2012. But we know that the day of the Lord is soon to come.
It is.
We don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man may appear.
But we don't.
But we do know that he will appear.
He will.
Oh, my husband is cracking me up. But when he does appear.
He's coming.
When the Son of Man does appear, we have to be ready when he comes.
Better have.
It's not just enough to say that I confess the Lord Jesus with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead and bam, I'm saved. No, I've been asking God about that because a lot of times people are causing people, you know, to come up to the altar and, you know, they say this, you know, short prayer, Lord, I accept you into my life. And half of the people that come up there don't even know who Jesus is.
My Lord.
And I think it would be a good thing that people would go back to having beginner's classes in their churches so they can teach people about who Jesus really is.
Yeah, sure.
I don't care about your church history and how long your church has been established and this, that, and the third and how many bishops or potentates or whatever came before you. That's not what's going to get a person's soul into heaven. That's not going to get a person's soul saved. So I think we should go back to basics and just teach people from a child's point, you know, from a childish standard. I'm not saying trying to be, you know, crazy or anything, but, you know, explain it in terms that a child could understand who Jesus is.
Amen.
Jesus is not so deep that we can't understand who he is. Jesus is not so
distant,
you know, distant or mystical. You know, I'm just saying, I just don't understand why people are not teaching who Jesus is. It's everything else is, you know, teaching about getting this and getting that and doing this and doing that. But do we know who Jesus is? Do we know this Jesus that we're out there telling people about? Do we even know who he is? I know that my husband was having a conversation last night in Bible study, and he was saying how, you know, they were talking about one particular group of people, and he was saying how, you know, he was friends with this person of a different religious belief. And, you know, these are the people that come and knock on your doors on Saturday mornings, and people generally don't talk to them. But my husband talks to anybody. And, you know, they were talking about their beliefs, and he was talking about his beliefs. And he was saying, my husband was saying, the reason why a lot of people don't talk to these people is because they really don't know who God is. They really don't know who Jesus is, because these people can tell you that Jesus was a great prophet and, you know, he was a great teacher and this, that, and the third, and they'll leave it at that. But we don't talk to these people because we can't even really stand up and talk about who our God is and who our Jesus really is. So we don't sit down and talk to these people. It's easier to close the door in their faces because we can't really go toe-to-toe with them as far as the scripture is concerned. And that got me to thinking that we really need to know who Jesus is. We need to be sure. We need to have a firm foundation of knowing who Jesus is. And once we begin to really know who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross, then we can begin to die to ourselves. We can begin to die so that we may live again. See, what we have to do is die to our flesh. We have to die to the desires of our flesh. We have to die to those things that please our flesh but don't please God. To be going to please one or the other, we're either going to please God or we're going to please our flesh. We're either going to please God or we're going to please the devil. And I tell you, the devil will be pleased with us if we just sell our souls to him and just do what he wants us to do. If we just become a slave of sin instead of a servant of righteousness, Satan would like it nothing better than for all of us to just go to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, because he knows that's where he's going, and he knows that he never, ever, ever again will be able to reign in heaven, because he lost his position when he got kicked out, when pride allowed him to stand up and say he was going to be above God. He got kicked out. There's nobody above God. There is no one above God, nothing above God. God created everything. Everything that was created, God did it. So there can be nothing, no other God, no other anything above God. But we have to make a decision. If we really want to see him, if we really want to see God, and I'm not talking about what you say last night, yesterday, Gerald, on somebody else's program. We don't want to be, where'd you say it, the great, what'd you say?
Many people talk about, I want to be somewhere around God's throne. You better be careful which throne you're talking about, because there's a great white throne of judgment that is being set aside for those wicked dead and those who live wickedly. That when you stand before the great white throne, you're not standing in glory, you're standing in judgment, damnation judgment too, not just righteous judgment. The judgment seat is where the saints go. They stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where he judges our works and he rewards us accordingly. But the great white throne is designated for those who sinned, those who lived wicked lives, those that turned their backs and their butts on the Lord while they were alive, and those who were dead, who in the past have turned away and have turned against God. They're going to be judged at the end, after Satan is in the lake of fire, after the Antichrist is in the lake of fire. Finally, man will be judged accordingly and thrown into the lake of fire.
And that's where we don't want. That's what we don't want. That's why it's so important that we die to the flesh, that we die to what our self wants if it's not in alignment with the word of God. And the flesh is not going to line up with the word of God. The flesh does not want to do what the word of God wants it to do. The carnal mind, the natural man, cannot receive the things of God because it's contrary to them. It's contrary to our natural mind. The word of God is contrary to our natural mind. We've been living in our natural minds for as long as we've been living in our natural minds. And even when we're born again, we still have a will. We still have free will to either serve God or not. We have free will to whether we want to die to the flesh or not. Just because we say we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, because Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes on him should not perish, should have everlasting life. I skipped the whole part. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus wants us to believe on him. And as we begin to believe on him and begin to see what he did and begin to see what Jesus requires of us, then we begin to live a holy life, begin to live a righteous life. We will begin to crucify the works of this flesh because, as I say all the time, nothing unholy is going to heaven. Nothing unclean is going to heaven. For the Bible tells us in Revelation, he tells us what's going to be outside of heaven. Dogs, he calls them dogs, fornicators, liars, okay, thieves. All of these people are going to be outside. They're not coming in heaven. Those things are not getting in heaven. Can I say this? And I'm going to say it without fear of anybody trying to change the word of God. Nothing unclean is going into heaven. Let me see if I can get that scripture for you. I believe it's Revelation, 20?
22.
Let's go to Revelation 22. It's important for us to see, hear the scriptures and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but holiness comes by hearing and hearing the word of God too. Let's see. Revelation, I'm in Revelation 22. And
yeah, let's begin at verse 11.
Is that where I want to go?
What you were talking about a moment ago is in verse 15. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers.
Yes.
And the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying.
Wow. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead back up to 11.
Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost.
Amen.
Let me read this last part here. This is so very important. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book.
Wow. God will take away. If you take away from this word, okay. And let's go up a little bit further, Bishop. Go up a little bit further. I think you read that, but I want you to emphasize verse 11.
Well, I'm going to tell you, verse 11 really tells us when Christ comes, there will be no more opportunity for a man to change his destiny. What he is then, he will be forever.
He who is unjust.
Isn't that something?
Let him be unjust still. He who is filthy. Let him be filthy still. He who is righteous. Let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. See, there's choices that we have to make. We're going to either be righteous or unrighteous, holy or unholy. But Jesus said in verse 12, and behold, I am come. When, Bishop?
I am come quickly.
Quickly. Quickly. I am come quickly, and my reward is with me to what?
My reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done.
To give to every man according to what he has done. But verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gate into the city. See, in that new city, in that new heaven, in that new earth, that new Jerusalem, there will not be any dogs, sorcerers. We're not talking about the roof dogs. We're talking about the filthy and unclean, okay? Dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. whoever loves and practices a lie. Okay? Jesus said in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. We have to tell you these things in the churches. We have to tell you that if you unholy, when Jesus come back, when Jesus come and you unholy, I'm sorry for you. But we don't have to wait for Jesus to come. We can get holy, stay holy, and when he come, be holy and go back with him. But we have to make a choice. We have to die to the desires of our flesh. Okay? Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But Christ who lives in me, crucified with Christ. When Jesus was crucified on that cross, they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. They pierced him in his side. They put a, before he got on the cross, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Okay, we were healed. Means we are healed. But when Jesus was crucified, he died. He died. But see, he rose again. See, if we crucify our flesh, we will rise with again with him. If we crucify our flesh, if we deny ourselves of the sinful things that ourselves want to do, if we deny ourselves the sinful things that the enemy offers us, if we deny ourselves, we just read in Revelation who's not going to enter in the city. We just read who's not going to enter in. Okay? And it says whoever practices a lie. And let us say that whoever practices a lie, people who are out there talking bad about other people and telling stories and spreading rumors and things that are not true. Anything that is not true is a lie.
And can I say this, Evangelist? And it starts off with saying those who love the lie.
And those who love the lie.
You do, whether you lie or not, if you believe a lie and love a lie, and what that means is when I hear the truth and I still prefer to follow after the lie, I love the lie. So the things that Evangelist Teresa has been talking about as far as holiness and righteousness and the requirements for salvation, if they're contrary to what you've been taught, If there's something that you said that I've never heard before, they're true, because everything that she's saying is in the Word of God. Within these 66 books, everything that she's saying has been confirmed by the books of the Bible. And if you can say that with her honesty, that everything she's saying is in the Word of God and is the truth, if you continue to believe the lie of your tradition, the lie of your denomination, the lie of your church, I hate to say it, but if you continue to believe a lie, that means you love a lie. Practicing lying means I'm lying. But if I love a lie, which means I follow after a lie and refuse to let go of a lie and accept the truth, then I'm a lover of lies.
And if you love lies, you might as well just go on and be a liar.
So be careful, hearts. When you hear these words that are spoken on this program, because there's nothing that I say, there's nothing that she says, there's nothing that Pastor Felicia says, or anyone else that comes on this program that's been a guest over these past almost a year and a half now, that have not followed the Word of God and been speaking from the Word of God through His Holy Spirit. And if it's touching your heart as though it's the truth, but somehow or another you refuse to embrace it because it's not what we do at our church, be careful, because what you're saying then is, I'd rather love a lie than to believe in the truth.
And that's true. I really want you guys to listen to something. I want y'all to listen to something that I came across on YouTube. I thought it was really good, and I wanted to play this before, but it's this lady named Evangelist Frances Kelly, and she's from I believe it's Church of God in Christ. But I just wanted to just let you listen. It's a part one and a part two. I just want to let you listen to this real quick, because sometimes I know people get sick of hearing us talk, but maybe if you hear it from somebody else, maybe it'll make more sense. Let's just listen and see if we can listen to this right quick.
Yeah.
I hope
some of us even look back at the world and the doings, and we slowly gravitate back to the world. Now, we don't backslide all at once.
Yes.
We begin to go back with little no-harm stuff. Things we pick up, first of all, the world's slang.
All right.
We'll start throwing that in the Sunday school lesson if you don't watch us. And everybody wants to be popular. And in wanting to be popular, we'll just, if we're not careful, we'll pick up some of that, what it is, man.
Yeah.
We pick up sounds of the word. We change the words to worldly music. Y'all ain't gonna, everybody not gonna like me. I just can't help that. We change the words to worldly music and call it contemporary. But one thing I got on you, God saved me. I was a supper club singer, a nightclub singer. So you can't bring that funny music in here and fool me with it. I know the worldly music when I hear it. I know the blues. I sang enough of it. And they even trying to rap that junk and bring the rap in here. You don't have to rap to me. Just tell me what a friend we have in Jesus. Glory to God. You don't have to rap to me. When I got saved, they were singing just as I am without one plea. Getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's all right, my pastor said. You know I'm going to try to show out now. Woo! Glory. We got to be so watchful, and then we start looking like the word. We don't go to the nightclub. We just wear the nightclub in here. Panty wrappers. We don't need no panty wrappers in here. We need some missionaries to tell the young women how to look like holy women. Oh, long clawed fingernails with your missionary license. I ain't studying you. If it's gray, it's gray. If you're going to make it black and go on back. Green hair cut up one side. Take that on back in the world where it belongs. It don't belong in here. Hallelujah. I'm about to feel good now. Thank you, sir. We start looking like the world, them old flowery stockings. Oh, help me tonight. Evening clothes in the church. Old see-through dresses in the church. Listen, y'all about to want no see-through. This man ain't studying that mess no how. Flipping and flopping and grinning in the preacher's face. These preachers got wives. Tonight. And if they ain't got none, don't you look for one of them. The Bible said when a man finds a wife, he. If you want a husband, hi. Woo, bless the no more. They won't say nothing because they're scared you won't make your report. But I declare unto you, when I got saved, they told me it's a difference in holy and unholy. When I left the nightclub, I left the nightclub closed. When I got saved, I didn't have chains and clothes because they told me I couldn't wear my décolletage down in the middle of my chest. They told me I couldn't cut my skirt under my hips anymore. I used to wear my gown so tight I had to tip, but they told me I couldn't do that over here. They told me I couldn't coat over here. And I scuffle and I scuffle and I made it, and I ain't gonna make room for you and your man either. When I got saved, they still look good. But the Bible says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman her own husband. Y'all better get this gospel out. Somebody gonna pick it up and take it if y'all don't hurry up. Woo, bless the Lord. God made man in his image. Tell you this. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I got that from my brother-in-law. Praise the Lord. Listen, God intended for man. Give me about a few minutes with this. He intended for man, his wife, and his children to be a unit. Huh? Let me tell you the order God meant for it to be. The man following God. The woman following the... let me do it. Godly man. There's a difference there. You can't follow him in the nightclub talking about I'm going in there trying to get him saved. No, I'll bring him to church, and if he doesn't go to church, you go and pray him on over there. Don't go in the nightclub. Suppose he go to the prostitute house. All right, let's move on. This is what God intended for man to be. And then the children following godly parents. And that's what God intended. We got our roles something mixed up here somewhere. Something's gone wrong. My roles mixed up. You don't want to, you don't know who wearing the pants and who's the husband and who's the wife and who telling you, and God is not pleased with that, and your homes are failing because of this. The old folks taught me here, so I'm going to have to teach it the best way I know. For man to be. And then the children following godly parents. And that's where God intended. We got our roles something mixed up here somewhere. Something's gone wrong. My roles mixed up. You don't want to, you don't know who wearing the pants and who's the husband and who's the wife and who telling you, and God is not pleased with that, and your homes are failing because of this. The old folks taught me here, so I'm going to have to teach it the best way I know. Godly parents setting examples for the children to follow. But because you wouldn't obey this gospel, because of disobedience, guess what? Bishop Ford, you heard this. He said this before, and I'm going to say it again.
Lord Jesus.
Let me tell you what has happened. Man has a lack of a sense of direction. I'm talking about this day's man now. Shirking responsibility, getting babies and won't feed them. I'm grown. I'm a man. No, you breath and britches. running from God, unfaithful, out of control, unthankful, and unholy. Woman, I'm going to stay on you a little longer. This is women's night. Because we have such a great role, we're going to have to get it straight here. The woman is now fearful, insecure, nervous, jittery, discouraged, dejected, rejected, overtaxed, overworked, overstressed, helpless, and in some cases, hopeless. Yet, we have better jobs, better education, cars to ride in, machines to wash for us, machines to cook for us, buttons to push for air, buttons to push for cold water, buttons to push for entertainment, cards to present for clothes, cards to get cash advances, cards to present for vacations to far away places, creams to make us soft, creams to lighten up dark splotches, to keep us youthful, false hair to make us look feminine, false teeth to brighten up our smiles, false fingernails to make us glamorous, and a false face to make folks think you're happy. We need the gospel here. Confused, some neglected, some abused, powerless, non-communicable, watched by satanic influence, get rich quick schemes, stressful peer pressure, group decisions, group sex, perverted sex, sex with animals, sex with the same gender, sex by self-induced gratification, and some are even trying to change their sex. Yes, sex, sex, sex. Listen, sex is not a lifestyle. No. Is the magnificent handiwork of God. He made man and male, and then he made female, no in between. I get so sick of sissies, I don't know what to do. I'm sick of sissies. And half the time they, y'all, bringing them in somebody's church, fanning over somebody's choir. My God from on high, what we need. Praise our God. Mothers, women, teach your children. Teach your sons and your daughters. Drugs are just killing us. Young people are just fading and fading away with mood-altering drugs. They're stealing and robbing and killing. And let me give you a little tip. Quit telling your unsaved children when you die everything you got belong to them. I'm trying to help somebody here. They'll kill you when they get that craving for dope. Don't tell them that. You get your safe, the deposit box, and put your business in it. Praise our God. We need help today. My God. Take this gospel to the world. And when you tell them the truth. Tell them when they come over here, it's holiness ahead. Tell the sisters. Now, I ain't going to get into that husband business and one and two, but at least don't have it one at the time. I know I can say that. I ain't getting into nothing else. And tell the brothers, it's wrong for them to have a wife and a woman, too. Tell them that I said that here.
Amen. That was Evangelist Francis Kelly.
Amen.
Woo! Don't want to mess with that lady right there. He tell you like it is. Let me tell you something. Bishop, you got anything you want to expound on anything she said?
Oh, I think it's point blank, sure enough, out of the left field. And she told the absolute truth, though. She told the absolute truth. We've been chucking and jiving and playing and acting as if we live in the kind of life God would be pleased with. We better start examining ourselves, getting it right, whatever's wrong, getting straight, whatever's crooked.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the Lord, just like you read a moment ago, evangelist, the day is going to come where there's going to be an outside group and an inside group. Ain't going to be, like the preacher just said, ain't going to be nothing in between. Either going to be on the outside, looking in, or you're going to be in the inside enjoying the eternal bliss of being in heaven. Ain't going to be two ways.
Everybody talking about heaven.
In the world, outside and the left, and the right foot inside. It don't work that way.
Everybody talking about heaven ain't going.
Heaven. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going to heaven.
Oh, well.
Heaven.
Everybody talking about heaven ain't going.
My grandmother's just saying, and she made a little fun of it, she's just saying, will there be any stars in my crown, in my crown? And the answer is, no, not one. No, not one.
I'm talking about Mom Pritchett.
On your crown, dear heart. Make sure you got a crown, first of all.
Make sure you got a crown, first of all.
Then worry about the stars.
Worry about the stars after that. You ain't got no stars. You don't got no crown. No stars.
There you go.
Now, how about that?
You got that right.
That's what we got to do. I want to call somebody. I want to see if I can get somebody on the phone. Let me see if I can do it. Hold on.
We're holding on.
I don't know where Felicia is tonight, but that's not what I wanted to do. Hold on. Let's see if we can get this person on the phone.
Praise be to God.
That's what we want to do. They don't know I'm calling, but I'm going to try to see if I can get them on the line.
It's a bit of a TV show like that.
What?
Somebody would call somebody. They didn't know they were calling.
Probably in your time.
I'm sure. They always do that. Here we go. Here we go.
I know this number.
Hello.
Evangelist Mac?
Yes.
This is Evangelist Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Guess what?
What?
Since you're excited about coming to Philadelphia during the revival in October, October 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes, ma'am.
Smile. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, Randall's Mac.
Yes, ma'am. You got me, baby, Scott. You sure did. I hear Bishop in the background laughing.
Got that right. How you doing?
I'm blessed, Bishop. How are you?
Blessed by the best.
Amen. Amen. Somebody today paid for me a round trip ticket to Philadelphia the 17th, and I leave out on the 21st.
All right. Mm-hmm. They paid for her ticket, girl.
Oh, praise be to God.
Round trip.
Is it because they didn't know I needed, they should have just bought me a, call me and see how the trip was going to go. But they didn't. They just went ahead and bought it because I guess they heard this morning and they thought I was coming back on the 21st. So I said, that's okay. If I have to come back on the 21st and New Jersey and Connecticut buy me another ticket to fly back a couple of days later, that's fine.
That's fine, right?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Well, Evangelist Mac, since we have you on the phone, I just wanted to ask you if you could just expound a little bit on the topic is dying so that we, what is it, Gerald, dying?
So that we may live.
Okay, dying.
Oh, you so must die in order to live again.
Yes, because it's our flesh that must die.
Uh-huh.
It's our natural ways of us doing things that must die so that the Spirit of the Lord can live in us, so that God can live in us. And we, once we accept him and he come into our heart to live, what happens is this. He's living in us now. We have his Spirit, and his Spirit leads and guides into all truth. So there may be things that you're used to doing, you know, when you first come to him, and you just do it because it's a part of the norm. But now you want to pray before you make a move so that he can tell you which way to go and how to go. And even sometimes he'll tell you when to go. So that flesh must die. It must not just come under subjection, but it must die. And because the flesh will have you doing things like this. It'll have you drinking, clubbing. It'll have you doing drugs. It'll have you doing many things, laying with folk you're not married to. But if you're going to let that flesh die, then what you're doing is telling it, no, I'm not laying with Big John no more. I'm not married to him. No, I'm not going to the French Quarter of the club tonight. Because he said, come out from among them and be ye separated.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that flesh is used to doing, that's what you want to kill. And now this is the way that I was able to kill my flesh when I come to the Lord, and still unto this day, with the word of God, prayer and the word of God. And, you know, like when it came to time, because I was used to laying with a man, because I just felt like I couldn't sleep without a man being in the bed with me. So I got the scriptures, don't let fornication be once named among you. I got the scripture that says adulterers are going to hell.
Uh-oh.
So Galatians 5. Over in Galatians 5, it tells you many different things. So I stayed in the book of Galatians, in the book of Acts, in the book of Matthew. I looked at the things that Jesus did. And I remembered this, whatever I do, it should be pleasing and acceptable unto him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, I can't do it. So all of this helped me that my flesh could die. And after I, you know, continued in it, it became a part of me. It became a part of me, and then the Spirit of the Lord would speak to me, you know, about different things. And yeah, we got to let that flesh die so he can live. Because if our flesh is not dead, then he's not living in us. Because he's not a fleshly God, he's a spiritual God.
Mm.
Amen.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Yes,
we can't see him. He ain't no flesh, that's for sure.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. We just played a tape by Evangelist Frances, I believe.
Kelly.
Kelly, Evangelist Frances Kelly, and she's Church of God in Christ. And I wish you could have, I would have called you before that so you could hear that link too, because it's probably something you might want to play on your broadcast. It was really, really good, and she was teaching, you know, about literally dying to the flesh. She didn't title it that, but that's what she was talking about. She was talking about how we've allowed filthiness to come into the church and how we've allowed, you know, just stuff to come into the church that's not of God. And it was really good. That's something that we all need to hear over and over and over again. So if I can figure it out and get the link to you, I'll send it to you.
The link, and I'll play it one morning.
Yeah. So, okay, so we just wanted to hear from the lady who's coming to Philadelphia to do the revival.
Yes, ma'am. October 17th through the 20th.
Amen. Amen. I'm so, see, we did a surprise. You're on Candy Camera, but this is a surprise. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, ma'am. God bless y'all. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Mac.
Evangelist Mac.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember the program that the guy used to do that would call a house and see if the person was there? It was a surprise thing, just like we did tonight with you. I forget the program used to do that.
Yes, yes. I've forgotten the name of it myself.
Yeah, it used to be a program called that. But we're glad to have you with us. Evangelist Mac, see you tomorrow morning, Lord willing.
Yes, sir. The Lord willing,
7
a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Jesus in the morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Amen. All right, sweetie. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Night.
Okay, that was one call for tonight. Now what we're going to do is we're going to read some scriptures, okay, because we don't just want to say things and not read the scripture. Let's just read what the word says. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. With his passions and desires. I don't know where everybody's at today, Cheryl. Probably at Bible study at their own church, who knows. John 12:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Mark 8:35. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Matthew 10:38. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Now, see, that one right there stabbed you in the heart. That one hurts right there. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Did y'all hear that?
Amen.
If we don't crucify this flesh, it says take his cross and follow me. If we don't take our cross and we don't do what we're supposed to do and follow him, Jesus, we're not worthy of him. That should make us sad to hear that. If you don't follow me, you're not worthy of me. Wow. Wow. Romans chapter 6. This says verses 1 to 23. Romans chapter 6. 1 through 23. I'm going to read that because it's the word of God. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. So we're going to read it until you're hearing. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we're going to read it, okay?
Amen.
It says, the caption to this chapter says, dead to sin, alive to God. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. The King James Version says, God forbid. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. But one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. He says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Anything you'd like to say about that, Bishop?
No, I think it's very clear that Christ is the way by which we attain eternal life and are living a holy and righteous life, guarantees our being somewhere in his presence. And I want to be at his, like I said earlier, I want to be at that judgment seat. I want to hear him say unto me, good and faithful servant, well done. And we say that, and we say it so offhandedly or a matter-of-factly. But that's what it's going to be. He's going to either say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, or he's going to say, good and faithful servant, well done. Now, the choice is ours, which one he speaks into our hearing. I want him to say, good and faithful servant. And not so much because of the great rewards and heaven, but I want to be pleasing in God's sight. He's worth it. He sent his only begotten son. I want to be pleasing in his son's sight because Christ gave so much for me and for you. Died as if he were a sinner with no sin of his own. Took my sin as a recompense for the sin that I've committed. He was the offering, if you will, for the price that I had to pay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, it's some things we have to look at and say, something's only fair. I mean, I know we're all looking for that great getting up morning and all that, and the heaven and the golden gates and the golden streets and all that wonderful thing that he's promised. And we know that's going to happen because he promised us that. But wouldn't it be nice just to serve him because he's worth serving?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be nice to serve him because he not only woke us up this morning, but he saved us from so many perils that were waiting for us that we'll never know, because his love was so much that he didn't even put us in a dangerous position where we would know. But he knew that the demons were ready to bring us down. He knew that our flesh was ready to turn us around away from him. And he saved us. He allowed his angels, he allowed his spirit to come into our lives and to reprieve us on a daily basis. Not just at Calvary over 2,000 years ago, but every day he's interceding on our behalf. Every day he's our champion. He's our advocate. Every day he's standing before the Father as the accuser. Satan stands before him telling us what we're not. And Christ is saying whose we are because of the sacrifice that he made on Golgotha's Hill at Calvary on that cross. We should be honored that we who are little less than angels were loved so much that the Father gave his only begotten Son, his very best, for you and for me, so that I wouldn't perish, and you wouldn't perish, and we wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good news?
It's better than good news.
It's the best news, isn't it?
It gives you hope.
It does. In an otherwise hopeless situation.
Because
it was hopeless before Christ came along. It was hopeless. No matter who you were, David, Moses, all of them were living in another world paradise. Alongside of hell, they were living. Only thing separating them was the gulf between hell and paradise. But because of Christ, even Moses and David and Job and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the prophets before and after were taken up out of that netherworld and taken into the heavenly world. And he said the same Christ that took them out will take us out and lift us up from the mundane to the divine. From the mundane to the divine. I can't wait till I can leave this mundane world, enter to the divine presence of his holiness.
Well, guess what? Whether you leave this mundane world and go into his divine presence, or whether we leave this world and we don't, we're going to leave this world.
Oh, no doubt about it.
One day, we're going to leave this world.
No doubt about it.
When we leave, we ought to want to leave here right. We ought to want to leave here, you know, wanting to see Jesus. Not shrink away from him in shame, but we want to see him and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
Amen. You know, you've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you Lord over many. Even if he don't say that, I want to get in heaven and live with him forever. You know, even if he don't make me ruler over nothing, look, I want to go to heaven. I definitely want to shun hell. I ain't going to pretend like I don't want to shun hell. I want to shun hell in the lake of fire. But my goal, my motive for wanting to see Jesus is because I thank him for what he did. I thank him for his sacrifice. I thank him for how he suffered for me. If he suffered for me, shouldn't we suffer for him?
Amen.
If he got crucified for me. Shouldn't we crucify our flesh for him? He did that for us so, like we read in Revelation, we could have the right to the tree of life. He did that for me. He did that for anybody who would believe on him. He said it in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever is you, whosoever is me, whosoever is them, whosoever is the atheist, whosoever is the Muslim, so whosoever is the murderer, whosoever is the adulterer, whosoever is whosoever. Whosoever is whosoever.
Amen.
He said, whosoever believeth on me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And believing on him is more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. Oh, it's way more than that. It's way more than that. Satan believes who Jesus is. But we got to get to know him. We got to get to know him.
Amen.
And once we get to know him, then we will begin to be able to crucify our flesh. Jesus don't require hard stuff from us.
Nope.
He asked us to get up on the literal cross and crucify ourselves. He didn't do that. He did not get up. He did not say, Gerald, get up on this literal cross. Let somebody literally crucify you like they did me. He's just telling us to die to our flesh. Die to the desires of our flesh that keep us separated from him.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Die to the stuff that keeps us separated from him. Now, if y'all had been here, those of you in the Philadelphia area would have been here last night at Bible study, you would have heard last night Bishop Scott teaching about the apostles who were crucified, who were martyred, okay? One was hung up on the cross and hung upside down. One was on the cross for 4 days, and while he was on the cross, he was crucified. And while he was hanging up there, he was preaching to people, and people were getting born again.
Amen.
One was boiled in oil, okay? One was thrown off a scaffold and stoned to death after he was drugged through the city. Okay, none of us got to go through anything like that. None of us have been through anything like that. All he is asking us to do is to crucify the desires of our flesh that keep us separated from him. That's what he wants us to do. That's so simple. Didn't I say we want to learn this, that's simple? All he wants us to do is to kill that stuff that keeps us separated from him.
Amen.
It's not hard. We make stuff harder than it has to be. We make stuff seem like God is such a hard taskmaster that whatever he says, we just can't do what he says because he's just too tough. And that's how we treat him. Like he's just, I can't do what you say, do God. That's just too hard.
Amen.
And it becomes too hard only when we don't want to do it. That's when it becomes hard.
My Lord.
So we tell our kids, go in there and wash the dishes. Man, Mom, why are you so mean? Man, Mom, why I got to do that? It's only hard because you don't want to do it. If you appreciated your mom and your dad or whoever you live with, they go to work every day. They buy you clothes. They feed you. You got electric, gas, and a lot of cases, the kids got cables. They got their own cell phone, okay? And you mean to tell me you don't appreciate nothing that your mom and your dad do? You can't wash the dishes? But we make it so hard. Oh, man, Mom, why you got to do? Dad, why I got to take out the trash? I know I'm a dude, but why I got to take out the trash? Well, didn't you eat today?
You drawing. That's what it is. You drawing.
Didn't you eat? Didn't you take your nasty butt in my bathroom and wash? Well, I hope you did. Didn't you go in there and use my water that I'm paying for?
My Lord.
Didn't you eat up the groceries that I bought?
Yes, yes, sir.
Aren't you wearing the clothes that I purchased?
Yep.
Aren't you playing the games that I bought?
Yep.
And looking at the cable that I pay for every month?
Yes, ma'am.
You mean tell me you can't take out the trash?
Nope.
Oh, wow. But see, that's how we treat Jesus. That's how we treat Jesus. He said, crucify your flesh. We say, God, that's too hard. I don't want to stop lying. I don't want to stop fornicating. I don't want to stop committing adultery. I don't want to stop stealing. I don't want to stop backbiting. I don't want to stop gossiping. I don't want to stop that, Lord. That's too hard. If I stop doing it, then what the people going to think about me? Yada, yada, yada. I don't want to give clothes to the homeless. I don't want to feed the hungry. I don't want to give shelter to those people that are out there on the street. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give a dollar to the man on the street saying, can you help me? Because he might use it for drugs. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pass out a tract. I don't want to come to church and worship you. I don't want to worship you in my own house. I don't want to stop looking at stuff that's not happy, that's not pleasing to you. I don't want to do that. That's how we sound. That's how we sound. Pitiful. But it's not hard. Let us just stop making stuff so hard and just do the right thing. In the end, you're going to be happy about it. In the end, you're going to be happy about it. Okay? All that stuff I used to do when I was out there, I don't miss going. I really don't. I honestly don't. I'm not even lying. I don't miss being in the club. I don't. I don't miss drinking and you know, doing all that stuff I was doing before. I don't miss that. Now, are there times when I'm tempted with stuff? Yep. Sure am. Are there times where I have thoughts in my mind where I actually, you know, oh, man, you know you could take a drink. It's going to be all right. Are there times that I, yep, because I was just straight up alcoholic. Yep, those thoughts come in my mind. But I have to rebuke that in the name of Jesus because I know that's not God. God's not going to tempt me to do something that's wrong. What kind of God would he be if he tell you to stop doing a certain thing and then he tempt you with it? Temptation comes from who?
From Satan.
God ain't going to say, my child, don't do that. My child, don't do that, and then bring it right to your face and tempt you with it. What kind of God is that? Sound like it's a crazy God right there. I don't want to serve a crazy God. But I know he's not crazy. If anything is crazy, it ain't from God. Believe me what I tell you. So all you got to do is make up your mind that you want to live right. All of us have to do this. We all have to make up our minds that we want to live for Christ and we want to be crucified. We want our flesh to be crucified because we know that if we're not crucified, if we don't crucify our flesh, we can't enter the kingdom of God. I would advise you guys or I would admonish you to go back into the archives and listen to the message from the beginning. I would admonish you to go to the archives and hear what was being said. Okay? So the message is for all of us across the board. None of us have made it to complete holiness. Okay, we're still striving every single day. Every single day there's something else. Oh, wow. Okay, maybe we did this or maybe we did that. Maybe there's still some things that we still haven't let go of. But guess what? We have to die in order to live again. We have to die to this flesh. We have to die. There's nothing good in this flesh. Anything that's contrary to God is not good.
Amen.
It might even feel good. It might even look good. But if it's contrary to God, it is not good. If it's contrary to God, it's not good. We read in Revelation, those dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers. And we're talking about murderers, those that physically kill people and those that hate their brothers without a cause, those that are backbiters and slanderers. And you can go back to the word, and we're going to do a study on that too. Slanderers and murder and backbiters, okay? Character assassinators, okay? It says idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. If you love a lie, you're not getting in. If you practice lying, you ain't getting in. If you listen to a liar and feed into what the liar is teaching you, you're not getting in. If you rather believe the lie rather than the truth, you're not getting in. There's a lot of false teaching out here. Pray and ask the Holy Ghost. Pray and ask the Holy Ghost to give you discernment for when a false teacher comes, so that you'll know that it's a false teacher. Because there's a lot of false teaching out here. And if you don't know any better, you next thing you know, you caught up in the false teaching. There's false doctrines out here. There's cults out here that sound so close to being right. If you don't know, you're going to be, next thing you know, you up in a cult worshiping man. Lifting up man. And my husband's getting ready to do a teaching about the difference between praise and worship.
Amen.
And I want that teaching on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Difference. There's something that we need to do, something that we're required to do. Praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But the Bible also says, let them that worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay? And we need to understand what praise is and what worship is. If we would get in the attitude of praise and worship, I mean, not just listening to a song, I mean getting into an attitude of praise and worship. You don't even have to have a song on, because he'll give you a song in your heart. You'll begin to sing songs to him, and you'll be like, well, where did that song come from? That happens to me a lot. You go into praise and worship and adoration. God, I just adore you. I honor you. I magnify you. I lift you up, Lord God. I exalt you. I bless your holy name. God, I thank you. I just thank you. I thank you for being God. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for making a way out of no way. I thank you for being my healer. I thank you for being my deliverer. I thank you, oh God. God, I just desire to be what you want me to be. I just desire to do what you want me to do. I desire to be in your presence, oh God. I long for you, Lord God. I long for you. I long for you, Heavenly Father. I long for you. I want you to be my everything. Not my man, not my kids. I want you to be my everything. Because late in the midnight hour, when nobody understands my tears, when nobody understands my pain, God, you were there for me, and you've been there for me. If I look back over my life, Lord God, and I think things over, I can truly say that you've been there for me all of my days. When nobody understood the craziness I was going through, God, you understood it. And not only did you understand it, but you brought me through it. And for that, I give you glory and honor. See, we magnify people. We magnify problems. We praise problems. We praise people. All these award shows, people getting these awards. People getting all these trophies, sitting in their houses, collecting dust. Because people have awarded them and praised them. What about we praise God? What do we forget about everybody else around and just begin to praise God? Forget about the kids. Forget about the spouse. Forget about whatever else is going on and just get in a place where you can just praise God. And, yeah, the enemy's going to come and talk to you and say, oh, you sound stupid. That's what he does to me. You sound so dumb. Just stop. What? Boy, shut up. Get out of my face in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to praise God. You ain't got to be all loud and, you know, falling all over the floor and this, that, and the other. You can just sit down and just have a heart-to-heart with God. And, God, I just praise you today. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you because guess what, God? I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you've done. Guess what, God? My bills are paid. And it's not because of my boss. It's because of you. God, I got a house to live in. It's not because I go out here and work every day. It's because of you. You're my provider. You, God. If you didn't open up that door and make a way, I wouldn't even be at my job. But, God, I thank you. We may not have everything we want. We may not be where we want to be. But guess what? There's somebody out there that's worse off than us. And I've seen people worse off than us in Africa. And those people stand and praise God. They don't care about chairs. They don't care about the weather. They thank God. And these people are so poverty-stricken. It is ridiculous. They drink water that people have defecated in. But they get to that church, and they stand there, and they worship God, and they give him glory. They adore him. They tell God how much they appreciate him. They have 9 and 10 people living in a hut. I'm not talking about a 3-bedroom apartment like we have. I said a hut. A little bitty old thing. But they come out to the church and they'll magnify God. They'll glorify God. They'll tell God, thank you. And here we are with the necessities of life, and we don't want to crucify our flesh. We don't want to worship God. We don't want to praise God. Why? Because, one, we're lazy, and because, two, we don't even know who God is because we will not get that relationship with him. We will not pray. We will not seek him. We will not study his word. I don't want to go to church because they this and they that. Well, guess what? Form a relationship with God anyway. There's a church out there for you. I know it is. If you're in Philly and you're in Philadelphia, you can join us over here at Refuge of God Church.
Amen.
4710 Locust Street, Suite 112.
Come on. We're here.
We switched our Bible studies to Tuesday night. We were doing it on Thursday, but I'm doing ministry outside of the home on Thursday. So we're doing Bible study on Tuesdays.
We're here.
And we're here. We invite people to come, and they won't come. But guess what? Go somewhere if you don't want to come here. Go get your mind renewed. So that you can crucify the flesh, so that you can die to the ways of this flesh, so that you can die to whatever it is that's keeping you separated from God. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going.
That's right.
Folks that's talking about God and talking about heaven and still lying and cheating and getting drunk. I'm talking about getting drunk and just out there doing everything that they was doing before they said they wanted Jesus in their life.
My Lord.
And that's one of the lies that the enemy has put out there, that you could just do anything you want to do. You can still get high. You can still sleep with Tom, Jerry, Ben, Peter, Susan, the dog, the cat, whoever. And it's okay. That's a lie. You can do anything that you want to do and still go to heaven. If that's the case, why did Jesus die? Why was he wounded for your transgressions and my transgressions? Why was he bruised for your iniquities and my iniquities? If anything can just go to heaven, why did he do that for us? Why did he sacrifice his life for us if it's okay for you to do what you want to do? Why?
did they rip his flesh apart on his body? Why did he allow them to put the crown of thorns on his head? Why? Why did he let them pierce him in his side? Why did he let them put those nails in his hand and his feet? Why did he allow them to do that to him if it was okay for everybody to continue in sin?
Lord, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us.
We need to lay prostrate before the true and living God and ask him to forgive us and ask his Holy Spirit to come in and help us to live holy and righteous. And those things that we don't want to crucify and those things we feel like we can't crucify and those things that we feel like we can't live without, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help us.
Help us, Lord.
So that we don't die in our sin and miss heaven by the skin of your teeth. And miss heaven because you wanted to be rebellious. And miss heaven because it felt better to sin in the flesh than it did to obey God. Jesus. Yeshua, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit, Yeshua. We need your Holy Spirit to help us. We need your Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh, whatever it is. If it's wrong thinking, Lord, if it's wrong talking, Lord, if it's wrong doing, whatever it is, we need your Holy Spirit to help us. And I ask you, Lord God, to come by your Holy Spirit and help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, hallelujah. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. I hope it's your prayer too.
Yes, Father.
Hallelujah. And we're going to close, hallelujah, with this, which has become our theme song.
Amen.
Which has become our theme song. God bless you.
Better choose the Lord today.
Night and God bless.
Good night.